video footage from the war in Afghanistan. A unit takes fire on a hill from Taliban forces on another hill. The firing is intense until the unit calls in an airstrike and the Taliban position is silenced.
Big firefight. Yeah. Big. Packing up rounds. That was fun, though, man. That was fun. You can't get a better high. It's like crack, you know? You can skydive or bungee jump or do, you know, kayak, but once you've been shot at, you really can't come down. There's nothing, you can't top that.
That all comes from the Academy Award-nominated documentary about the war in Afghanistan, Restrepo. In this film, the emotional intensity of warfare finds few apt comparisons. What is not in this film, though, are incidents of brutality and cruelty that violate the military codes of conduct that sometimes occurs in the emotional heat of battle and its aftermath. Take this bit of video, seen by a lot more people than saw Restrepo.
Yeah. Have a great day, buddy.
A now famous viral internet video showing U.S. Marines urinating on the bodies of Taliban fighters. An official says the U.S. Marine Corps has identified at least two of the four Marines in the video as members of the 3rd Battalion, 2nd Marines, which returned to its home base in North Carolina last fall after a tour in Afghanistan. Defense Secretary Leon Panetta called the depicted behavior utterly deplorable. Afghanistan President Hamid Karzai blasted the video as completely inhumane. And here's Secretary of State Hillary Clinton.
I share completely the views expressed by Secretary Panetta earlier today. I join him in condemning the deplorable behavior that is reflected in this video. It is absolutely inconsistent with American values, with the standards of behavior that we expect from our military personnel.
Then how does such an incident happen? And how dangerous is this imagery to soldiers on the front lines? We wanted to put that question to one of the filmmakers of Restrepo. Veteran war correspondent Sebastian Younger and the late Tim Hetherington logged many hours filming the front lines in the Afghanistan war. Younger joins us now. He's also author of the book War, all about the intensity of combat in Afghanistan. Sebastian, good morning.
Good morning.
What was your reaction when you saw this image? And even in the short period of time that it's gone viral, it's become sort of a defining image of the last few weeks in Afghanistan.
I had a pretty complicated reaction. I mean, on the one hand, it's horrifying, and the implications are serious for U.S. policy and for troops on the ground. On the other hand, I felt like I kind of understood it. I've been in a lot of combat with American soldiers, and combat produces enormous stresses and an enormous amount of anger at the people who are killing your friends. And so you have to sort of keep a context of these are 19, 20-year-old guys who have gone through a lot, and it comes out in really weird ways, and this is one of them.
Of course, Hamid Karzai, the president of Afghanistan, is not required to put the video in the same context that you would or the Marine buddies that are on this film, and hence an international incident results. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, Karzai is sort of a complicated character and always has been, and so his evaluation of the film is tricky. You know, I mean, I feel as a civilian who's been in a lot of combat with American soldiers and otherwise, I mean, the first thing that sort of struck me is that they've made their own lives a lot harder. And I don't mean just because it came out now.
They're back in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune.
But I mean, in a kind of tactical sense, like the guys I was with, I think they shared in their hearts the sentiment that drove these guys to do what they did. But they never committed an act like that. And I think one of the reasons, I mean, they were basically ethical guys, but also it was so clear in that valley, the Korangal Valley where we were, that acts that alienated the civilians, Afghan civilians, would increase the danger for the soldiers. It would lead civilians to help the Taliban fighters. It would lead to recruitment. And surely there are some young Afghans who saw this video now who in a few months will be shooting at American soldiers, for sure. And the guys I was with kind of knew that. And on a tactical level, it's really stupid to alienate the civilians in a country like that.
Talk a little bit about, you know, the sort of 21st century battlefield where there are camcorders all over the place. And some people have, like, internet connections at forward operating bases. And these kinds of images that might have been snapshot trophies in wallets a generation ago suddenly are broadcast all over the world.
Well, that's the new era. I mean, and you see it in, I mean, it's affecting everything. You saw it in Tahrir Square and in Libya and Syria, and now you see it in Afghanistan. I mean, everything is becoming public knowledge. And I mean, just as a journalist, I have to say that's a good thing. You know, I mean, the more oversight there is, the better behavior will be.
What's your response to the listener we played at the top of the hour? I don't know if you've heard it or not. Someone who called in and said, why should anyone care about this video when the Taliban produces videos of beheadings of possibly American soldiers, or if they got their hands on a NATO soldier? Are they the same sort of propaganda, but just on opposite sides of the camera? Or does the listener have a point here?
Well, our narrative about the war is that we are not the Taliban, that we are not extremists, that we are for freedom and respect for human rights and all that. And as long as that's our preferred narrative, we have to condemn it when we do it and sort of acknowledge that the Taliban is going to continue committing acts like this. It's inconceivable that we would shrug our shoulders at this.
Talking with Sebastian Younger, journalist and author of the book War, reacting to the viral video that shows Marines desecrating the bodies of Taliban fighters. We're going to continue this discussion, but before we go, what do you think caused those soldiers not to grasp that alienating Afghan civilians would undermine their own sort of tactical safety in the battlefield?
I think they probably on some level did grasp it, but they're filled with some very conflicting feelings in combat, and one of them is an incredible hatred of the enemy. Desecration of enemy dead, I'm sure, has been going on for tens of thousands of years in human history. We all remember Achilles dragging Hector around the walls of Troy because he killed his best friend. I mean, that
I don't remember it, but I certainly heard tell of it.
Yeah, I mean, reading about it, you know, like we all read the Iliad.
Yeah,
right?
So
that's a long tradition in human history. American soldiers were taking scalps at West 150 years ago.
Sebastian Younger, journalist, author of the book War, will continue this discussion after a short break.
You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
We're talking about the controversial video that shows U.S. Marines desecrating the bodies of Taliban fighters that's been seen all over YouTube and the internet. We're talking about it with Sebastian Younger, a journalist, author of the book War, and co-director of the Academy Award-nominated documentary about fighting in Afghanistan, produced and directed with the late Tim Hetherington, who died nearly a year ago in Libya. The documentary, of course, Restrepo. Sebastian, again, thanks for being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
You know, in so many of the headlines and stories we do about Afghanistan and Iraq, there's talk of the rules of engagement, that to call in an airstrike, perhaps a Pentagon lawyer needs to be called, to fire on certain positions, there needs to be confirmation that those are actually the people you need to fire on. I don't want to justify on any level what happened in this video or any of those complicated rules of engagement, but give me a sense of the complicated, almost contradictory logic that a soldier often faces in trying to determine whether behavior is completely out of line or something that is on some level acceptable.
Well, keep in mind, these guys are probably 19, 20 years old. So they were 9 or 10 years old on 9/11, right? They were children. So they've grown up, the last 10 years, they've grown up listening to the public dialogue, the public conversation about the war on terror. And for the past 10 years, there's been an endless succession of statements by politicians and media figures really kind of dehumanizing the enemy. And
endorsing things like waterboarding and torture.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, for a 19-year-old soldier in combat, it's really puzzling that it's okay to waterboard a live human being and it's not okay to urinate on a dead one.
Now, that under no circumstances justifies what they did, right?
No, but in that moment, we have to understand that moment, right? In order to avoid it, we have to understand it. So these guys will be investigated and punished or whatever. So, no, we're not justifying what they did, but we have to understand why they did it. And you have to be—you have to put yourself in their mind. And more than that, you have to put yourselves in the mind of an entire generation of people who are 10 years old on 9/11 and have witnessed what this country has done to the idea of personal dignity, even for foreign fighters, in our laws and in our public discourse. And they absorb, you know, it's like the children are listening. You know, they absorb that stuff. And now those 10-year-olds are fighting our wars, and they're urinating on our enemy. And we're partly responsible for that.
So whatever mistakes they have made, whatever punishments they will have, you know, put upon them after an investigation, the seeds of their behavior have also been sown by policymakers and lawmakers and even the media.
I mean, listen, in my opinion, yes, absolutely. I, you know, I'm 49 years old. I've been covering this stuff for a long time. I cannot reconcile in my mind that it's okay essentially to torture living people and not okay to urinate on dead ones. I don't know how to reconcile those things, and I'm pretty sure a 19-year-old can't.
And, of course, both can be wrong too, correct?
Ooh, exactly.
Yeah, all right. So describe to me how frustrating perhaps it is for you as a filmmaker that images of Afghanistan that may define that conflict are more likely to be a viral video like this than the images from your Academy Award-winning documentary, Academy Award-nominated documentary, Restrepo.
Well, this is an eternal problem in the news. I mean, you know, after Tim and I got out of the Korangal, you know, we brought the Korangal a certain amount of attention. And after that, something like 80 or 90% of foreign reporters requested the Korangal Valley as a place to be embedded because they wanted to see combat. So, of course, you know, the media does it to itself. I mean, we produced a view of Afghanistan that's sort of combat heavy because everyone wants the excitement of combat. And you know, most of Afghanistan is not at war. I mean, most of Afghanistan, valley by valley, is actually pretty peaceful.
And most of Restrepo is actually not bang bang. Right.
Yeah, right. I mean, most days of a given week, there was no combat. And I mean, for a while, that wasn't true. There was combat every day. But, you know, my point is that in Afghanistan as a whole, there are entire sections of the country that are actually doing okay and have been developed. And, you know, that will never get seen in the media because it's not, frankly, very exciting or compelling video.
Before we go, the death of your colleague and friend, Tim Hetherington, who died in Libya, how I haven't spoken to you since that happened. It was a big story when it happened on this program. We actually reached out to you, but I think you were probably emotionally overwhelmed. Since then, what actions are you taking either to memorialize Tim Hetherington and what he did as a journalist and what you do every day as a journalist and perhaps keeping it from happening again?
Well, I'm making a film for HBO about Tim, and that will be out in a few months. I've started an organization to train freelance reporters. I mean, of course, the sort of salaried people in the business get trained. I go through these sort of official training courses for hazardous environment. But freelancers provide, you know, probably 90% of the coverage that we get from war zones. There were an enormous number of casualties in Libya in this past year, seven or eight wounded, journalists wounded, and three, four killed, all freelancers. And so I've started an organization called RISC, Reporters Instructed in Saving Colleagues, to train freelance reporters in battlefield medicine.
Medics, so creating journalist medics.
Well,
in combat.
They're getting the training that soldiers get for treating combat wounds.
Would that have saved Tim?
Well, possibly. I mean, Tim bled out. He was hit in his groin. He had a femoral bleed, and he bled out. But there are things you can do to slow down or stop that bleeding. No one around him knew what to do. I wouldn't have either. I want to change that. There's going to be another Tim. It is preventable, and I've started this group that will train people once a year in New York, in London, and in Beirut. Those three times a year in three different cities altogether, and it's completely free. You get yourself to that city, you're a freelance war reporter, and you will be trained and lodged for 3 days in those cities, and you will get a medical kit that you should wear all the time in combat.
Is that your greatest fear? Bleeding out somewhere where no one knows you and you're gone?
You know, I'm out of the business. After Tim died, I got out. So, no,
really?
That's not my greatest fear. But, you know, it's something that I really worry about for those of us who are still doing it.
Well, thanks so much for coming in.
My pleasure.
Sebastian Younger, journalist, author of the book War, co-director, along with Tim Hetherington, the late Tim Hetherington, of the documentary Restrepo on Afghanistan. Pictures that tell a very different story than the viral video we were just speaking about. Thanks so much.
Thank you.